I have the Slow Signal Fade here in the studio. We're going to play a track from their forthcoming CD. This is what they sound like.
Wake.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest today, March 16th, is the Slow Signal Fade. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hello, I'm Ron.
I'm Marguerite.
I'm Chris.
Aaron.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, and so you are the Slow Signal Fade.
We are.
And what we just heard was a track from your forthcoming album, and we were chatting a little bit before about the long process and the work that goes into making an album. Tell me a little bit about that. When can we expect this album, and what can we expect from it?
It's coming out the second week of June, second Tuesday of June. It's called Steady, and we're really excited about it. It's packed with lots of goodness.
And this is your first album, right?
It's our first full length. Yeah.
Yeah, we put out two EPs before and kind of built up since then. And we were on tour at the end of last year. And, you know, the album was recorded and mixed by Steve Albini, who's done a lot of our favorite stuff. So we were really excited to work with him. We stopped off in Chicago while we were on tour and spent a week working with him, and it was a really great experience, and, you know, wish we had some more time. So
for those who might not know, who is Steve Albini? Who did he work with?
He was like a guitar player / founder of a band called Big Black, which is like one of the first indie bands, and he's done albums for bands like Low, The Pixies, PJ Harvey, and of course Nirvana. So he's pretty well known.
He's the coolest.
Yeah.
And so you call yourselves indie rock? Is that how you label yourselves?
That sounds good.
And how do you think that differs from just rock and roll? Because I do think there's a definite quality of the sound where you recognize that, okay, that's indie as opposed to just rock.
I think it's like lo-fi versus like loops and hooks and 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, song structure.
Yeah.
You know, it's not verse, chorus, verse, chorus, done. You know, weird song structures and long songs.
Yeah, I think it's a little more like just artistic rather than trying to be marketable or like mainstream. You know, we're not necessarily creating music that we think everyone's going to like. We create music that we like and that we feel strongly about. And we hope that, you know, other people will find something that they like about it too.
And not so produced, maybe. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, the album was just recorded basic, like, whatever you come to see us live is the way the album's done. There's no, like, multi-layered guitar tracks. There's no, you know, studio trickery or anything. It's just, you know, when you come to the show, you hear what you hear on the record. And, you know, there's nothing worse than, like, going to see a band and you listen to their CD first and it's, like, all layered and thick and, and, you know, really sonic. And then you go to see them live and they have one guitar player, a bass player. And it's, like, you know, it just misses that kind of thing. I mean, we probably could have done, you know, a lot more, you know, studio-wise, but we felt it was better just to do what we do, like, you know, when we play live.
Representational. Yeah.
It was really raw. Like, we didn't record to Pro Tools, which, you know, we recorded just pretty much live. I mean, and that's like Ron was saying, you know, I think it comes across as just kind of a raw sound.
And I think that's also why we went with Steve Albini, because he is able to capture that rawness, you know, and he doesn't mess with like trying to make you sound like someone else, which isn't what we're going for. We like the way we sound, actually.
And it's funny because Steve, like, I mean, the guy's such a master at his craft. Like, he can do anything on 2-inch tape that anyone can do on Pro Tools. And it's like, when you use Pro Tools, I mean, it's easier and it's like, it's cool. But, you know, people tend to do things just because they can and because they can do it quickly. So, you know, we just wanted something that was just warm, us, and, you know, live. I mean, live is like what we enjoy the most. Recording's cool and everything, but, you know, we love playing shows and stuff, and I feel like that's where the most connection and energy is, only between us and the audience, you know.
As an indie rock band with a strong female lead, what are some of the challenges involved in that, in the way people expect, what people expect from your music? Or is that a challenge at all? I don't know.
Well, it is in a sort of way because there's not a lot of bands like that. So people grasp at like the few bands they know with singers like that. And they think that they can sort of judge on that. Like, you know.
Or they want to know, like, they want to know a comparison.
Yeah, as opposed to like, you know, oh, there's elements of this, that. There's elements of other things. They just go, you know, and they try to like pigeonhole you, I guess, into sounding like someone. Whereas, you know, there may be an element of that, and it may not be a band that we're influenced by, which is, you know, so there is that. And, you know, the singer always takes the brunt of everything, right? Like in the, you know, the
And Marguerite, how are you handling being, you know, do you feel like the front of the band, or is it a completely collective, collaborative process?
I think it's very collaborative, the way we write and the way we deal with interviews or whatever. It's, you know, all four of us holding hands out in the world, so I don't feel alone or anything like that. But they do, if they don't like us, they usually don't like me, so
they blame you for not liking the entire sound.
That's not always true.
Oh.
They blame me sometimes.
Yeah, they tore
too.
Ron up a couple.
You know,
times.
It's just like they're like, we don't need to listen to the same riff over and over for 10 minutes. Which is, you know, I mean,
after this show, they'll probably blame me. You know,
it's all John's fault.
They rarely blame the rhythm section, though. That's worth pointing out.
Yeah,
they seem to love us.
Well, we'll talk about how you each got involved in music and maybe why you chose the rhythm section after we hear a live song. You guys ready to do one?
Sure.
Cool. All right, you're listening to the Slow Signal Fade on Is Good on KillRadio.org, and they're going to play a live acoustic tune for us in just a second, so hang in there.
TBA. Okay, this is called TBA.
Thank you. That came out really great.
Wow.
Minus that.
Wow, what a treat.
Note. That's live, folks.
Yeah. So, I wanted to. Well, I'll ask that stuff later. Just because I heard that last song. Tell me a little bit about the writing. What is your music about? I ask everyone this. I mean, are we talking personal experiences, lost love, aspirations? What is the music about? Because it's a very lyrical group.
Yeah, definitely personal influences, just emotions. And I guess, like, the, you know, the music, in terms of the lyrics, the music influenced me. So it's oftentimes kind of dark, I guess. Not that I'm such a dark person, but... and so a lot of our songs are about struggle, because that's, I feel like that's what we're doing as artists and as a band, is it is a struggle, even though it's like great and we love what we do. It is oftentimes a struggle trying to, you know, get on the road and play and do this and, you know, do what we love.
I mean, I also think it's like, you know, a lot about, you know, everyday experience, life in general. I mean, any person can sort of relate to one of our songs, and that's kind of the beauty of it. Sometimes you don't know, so you may think it's about something totally different, and, you know, that's cool too. Like, you can put your own meaning to it, and it's sort of general, like, you know, everyday experiences. And
yeah, it's about general, I think, emotions rather than a specific instance, you know?
So are you really thinking about connecting with your audience when you play? Like, what do you want to hear from someone who hears your song? Do you want them to come up and say, oh, that was rocking? Or do you want them to say, that really meant something to me?
I think, well, writing the lyrics makes me want to connect to, you know, when I'm singing. But then, like, I think just as musicians, generally, you want, like, the vibe, the emotion, the ambience, you know, to come through. What do you guys think? You're the rhythm section. It's rockin'.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there is that Marguerite writes really, you know, great, like, philosophical lyrics. And like Ron was saying, you can get your own meaning from them. And then live, you know, I think we want that energy, you know. We want the crowd to be impressed, I guess, and to say, you know, that we were unique, I guess. We don't want to be just like any other band. I guess we want to just be memorable. And we really, you know, kind of put everything we have into our performance live. Like, if you watch us, I think everyone's just, pouring themselves into what they're playing. And that, we hope that comes across.
Yeah. Do you build followers with every live show?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that's...
You see a lot of the same faces at your performances?
Yeah, and that's kind of like our thing. Like, you know, even when we started going on the road, like, we put ourselves on the road, and, like, you know, a lot of bands, they tend to play in L.A., and they just play Spaceland or something, like, once a month. Like, we forced ourselves to start going out. It was the only way to get, you know, out of the city that you play in. And, like, we've basically been a one fan at a time band, you know, like anywhere from, you know, playing in Phoenix to Portland to Seattle to Chicago to New York. Like, every time we play a show, if we walk away with one new person, it's been worth it to us. You know, we've played to hundreds of people, we've played to 10 people, but, you know, the 10 people shows can be just as rewarding sometimes as playing to hundreds of people.
Well, Ron, how did you get involved in music and then involved in this band? I'm going to ask this of everyone. So, well, unless you need to feed the meter.
Yeah, I'll be
right. We don't want our car to.
We'll get to you last, man.
I mean, the thing about me is, like, I'm not probably a typical musician. Like, I used to have some friends that played in a band, and I was like, I've seen them play and kind of was like, I mean, I've always loved music so much and always wish I could play an instrument. And I kind of just one day was like, oh, I think I'm going to try to play a guitar. So, like, I play guitar really weird. Like, I don't know any of the notes. I don't know how to play. I don't know any of the chords. I don't know anything. I just listen.
It's on the record now.
It's cool. I mean, I don't mind. I don't at all. These guys play.
Yeah, they fooled me.
I mean, I listen, and I just kind of go, I play, like, what I think sounds good with what they're doing, and that's kind of, like, a thing that, like, I've sort of developed my own, I guess, you know, style that way. I mean, if you could call it that, but, I mean... like, as being part as a real musician that knows what they're doing, that's not me.
I feel the same way about being a radio host.
Perfect.
But I think sometimes that's better, because it's because when I listen to music, I'm affected emotionally by it, and I'm not really looking for, like, oh, she went to a really high C or something, you know?
Right.
Like, that's not what I'm into, so...
Yeah, no, there's definitely talent and technique, and, you know, you need a little of both for sure, and if you have one... A lot of one and none of the other, that can be bad news. You see that on You see that on TV a lot, actually. Like, I'm an actor, and you see a lot of people with a lot of technique and no talent, or a lot of talent and no technique, you know, like, it's just like, you know, it's just like, yeah. Come on. So, Marguerite, tell me how you got involved.
I guess I've been singing for a long time. I come from a musical family. I took, you know, piano lessons and all that stuff when I was a kid, and just really liked to sing and just kept doing it. And I used to just kind of be me and a guitar. And then I was just kind of bored with that, and I wanted to write with a band because I realized that my weakness was the music part, the writing of the music. So I was looking forever, and it's really hard to find a band that you connect with and like have similar goals and, you know, that inspire you. So I had a friend, we had mutual friends, and they told me that they were looking for a singer, and it just worked out.
And was it always rock and roll style singing?
Like,
did you know you wanted to sing for this kind of sound?
Well, when I first, I guess when I was younger, I just listened to a lot of jazz singers and just tried to emulate their styles and like those songs. So that's where I came from. And then it just evolved because when I started writing my own songs, it wasn't so jazzy. So it was a little more rocking. So
You never hear death jazz.
No. No, but maybe we can try that out. Maybe we can give
Charlie Mingus is close.
And on to the rhythm section. So how did you get involved and in music and then band? In this band?
Music, it was just early, you know, I always wanted to play bass. I loved Kiss when I was a kid, and Gene Simmons was, you know, the coolest man on the planet when I was 6 or 7. So you know, I just started playing bass. And I went to school for it, and studied in school, and everything was great. And I played in some jazz combos and studied classical and did all kinds of stuff. And then got out in the working world and just stopped playing for a couple of years. And then Ron, like, talked me back into it. You know, I got laid off. He's like, come on, you don't have a job. You have nothing to do. Come on, play.
So after forced about, him into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so after about 6 months of him ribbing at me, I was like, okay, all right. And it turned out to be the best thing I've ever done. Yeah, I've never been happier.
Yay.
Yeah. So much nicer than working.
Everyone should listen to Ron more often.
No, I have to say, you guys do seem to get along really well, which is rarer than you would think.
Well, the thing about that is, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, we get in our disagreements. It's like, you know, because everyone has a say. We're not a band where there's one person that walks in and says, hey, I got a new song. Like, you know, I'd like you to play this.
Right.
Makes all the decisions. Like, you know, so everyone has their own opinion. We all come from different places. And I think that's what really helps in our music, too. Like, we all respect each other. We all respect what each other does. We may not agree all the time, but we always work through it, too, because there's a main goal of, like, you know, there's a final destination of some way, whether it's good or bad, I don't know yet. But, you know, so I think that helps a lot.
And Aaron?
I can't really pinpoint when it happened for me, but I just, for as long as I can remember, I've just been drawn to the drums. And I grew up mostly in Memphis, Tennessee, so I started taking, you know, lessons there. And I don't know, I just loved it. Like, for me, there's nothing more fulfilling than just being behind the drums and playing. You know, at first it was just, like Marguerite was saying, like, at first it was just me playing in my room at home. And then I discovered playing with other people, and that just made it, you know, like 10 times better. I mean, then you're creating music and feeding off of each other. And so, I don't know, I just became obsessed with music and drumming, and came out to L.A. to go to college and just played in, you know, various local bands and stuff, and just kind of searching for that perfect fit, I guess. And so I was in and out of a few different groups, and got in touch with Ron, you know, through like an ad, I think. And, you know, they were looking for a drummer, and we met and played, and it just sort of clicked right away. And, you know, I saw all the stuff that they had done in the time they'd already been together, and was just really impressed with the work ethic of the band and the commitment. And, you know, that was about a year ago. And since then we've, you know, toured, we recorded the album, and it's just been great. So I look forward to many more years of playing with this group.
Well, after that glowing endorsement, I can't go into an acoustic song. Why don't we play another track from the CD, and then we'll follow it up with a live song. Okay. What are we going to hear next?
Let's try That's a Long Way Down, track number 9.
You're listening to The Slow Signal Fade on Is Good on KillRadio.org. If you want to instant message us, ask the question of the band or anything like that, our AOL instant messenger handle is Kill Radio Station. That's one word, Kill Radio Station. This is The Slow Signal Fade. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. That's what the slow signal fade sounds like in the studio. This is what they sound like live.
This one's called Counterpunch.
Sorry, I was lost in a trance. I don't know.
John, cry. Cry, John, please.
That was beautiful. What else can I say about that? What's the slow signal fade mean? What's the name?
Ron came up with it.
To me, it's sort of like, I guess, a synonym for life. And it sounds kind of, I guess, morbid in a weird sort of way. But it's like, you know, as soon as you're sort of born, you're constantly like, you know, slowly fading. So I mean, it's kind of like that, but I mean, it has a lot to do with sound and stuff like that too, but it's really kind of about that, like, you know, just like life is like the slow signal fade. You kind of,
it's precious.
Yeah. And you know, it just kind of, you go through, and you know,
constant decay.
We're a happy bunch.
That's great. Well, this album, we were talking a little bit before, you actually are signed to an indie label, and this is an album that's going to be released, and people are actually going to be able to go and buy it. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's a label out of Portland called In Music We Trust, run by a really great guy named Alex, and it's we're really excited. I mean, you know, our whole goal was to, you know, pretty much get someone else to, you know, put out the record and for us to get on the road, and, you know, we're going to be going on a U.S. tour again in June and July and playing the whole country and, you know, promoting the record, and we're all really excited about it, and, you know, think it's going to be a good experience, and, you know, just can't wait, pretty much. So
yeah, our record will come out second week of June and will be available at stores all across the country, as well as, you know, the usual places, iTunes, Amazon, and that's it.
Worldwide.
Nice. Is there any music people can get now?
There's no,
like from your website or anything like that?
You can listen to a couple of the songs on MySpace, and that's pretty much it at the moment. You know, I guess sort of trying to keep under wraps till it comes out. So, you know, but you can download some of our older songs, and you can find a lot of, like, you know, radio performances we've done throughout the country, and download stuff on other people's websites and things like that too.
What are some other radio performances you've done?
KVRX in Austin. We've played on KXLU. We played on KAOS in Olympia, which is a really great, like, you know, station that, like, you know, Bruce Pavitt and Calvin Johnson and stuff used to be, like, DJs at, and it's like Evergreen State College. We've played on other places in Pennsylvania and, you know, random shows throughout the country.
Shippensburg.
Yeah.
So what are some of your best and worst experiences playing live? What are the, like, yeah, this is how it should be experiences, and some of the, wow, what a disaster?
I don't know. One of my favorite places that we played was a place called Subterranean in Chicago. It was packed, like, hundreds of people. We played with really nice bands. It was a really good time, and, you know, it was a really good show. But there's been a few nightmares.
Mostly technical nightmares, or...
Some, you know.
Anybody get struck by lightning or anything like that?
No, we have a very temperamental van too. So our road experience, we've broken down in the middle of, like, Texas at, like, 5 a.m.
Oh god!
All you can hear is cows moving in the distance.
No reception. Yeah, exactly.
There's been some changing of alternators.
I noticed you guys on your MySpace page, one of the pictures for the band is you guys sitting in a field. Is that from that day?
No. But,
we should put the alternator one up. These two changed the alternator on our way to Chicago to record with Albini.
We had to be at Albini's place the next day morning.
And literally, that night.
And the alternator on our van went out in, like, Champaign or Springfield or something, and we had no choice. It was like 4 o'clock in the evening. So
on a Sunday. No.
Oh wow.
No garages were open.
After we'd driven like 2,000 miles, like, through the Rockies, like, we get 200 miles out from Chicago and pull over at Starbucks or something.
So me and Chris went to O'Reilly's, bought an alternator. We said to the guy at the counter, can you show us which thing is the alternator in the engine? He came out, he pointed it out. We borrowed a couple wrenches and we changed it, and it worked. We were all sitting there and we started it up. We were like, yay! It was pretty good.
Then we drove to Chicago.
And it was worth it.
And we made it.
Yeah. Plus now we know how to change an alternator.
One really good road time, Chris almost backed us over a cliff in Portland, which was kind of funny. We were at real late at night pulling. We camp a lot and do stupid stuff like that as a band. Like, you know, it's cheaper to camp than it is to stay in a hotel when it's nice, too. So we were in a national park.
4:30 in the morning.
Coming home from a show, and 4:30, like, we're backing up in this place, and all of a sudden...
He just kept backing up.
We're like, why does he keep backing up? All of a sudden the van was like... cocked on one wheel, hanging over like a 20-foot cliff, like, and we all crawled very slowly out of the van.
Wow.
I've been trying to kill him for years. That was the closest I got.
What's next?
Give him time.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. Do you want to go into another song?
Sure.
Okay, what should we play next?
How about Time Machine?
Okay.
All right, you're listening to the Slow Signal Fade on Is Good on killradio.org.
This song's called Time Machine.
Sinking, blaming underneath the skin lay still listening, the words are bent, backwards discover though the light is dim. Settle in for takeoff. Target window. Erase the past. Pull into exposure. Simple gesture. Pay the toll. Between the lines, understand.
You've been listening to The Slow Signal Fade on Is Good on killradio.org. Where are you guys playing next?
We're playing March 30th at the Troubadour. That's it.
Yeah.
I also think we'll be going on tour all over the country. We leave like the last few days of May, and I think we start out in Boise and Salt Lake City, kind of work our way through the West, back through the Midwest to the East, the South, and then back home again.
So. Some of the Mid-South, the North.
Yeah. So this is all to promote the new album.
Yeah. And then we'll come back for a month or two and then head back out again and hopefully get to the UK and Europe by the end of the year.
Wow. And do you like all the traveling that comes with this, or is it kind of grueling too?
It's both. I mean, you definitely have, like, you know, great experiences, and, you know, don't get me wrong, by the end of like a month tour, you look really tired and feel really tired, and, you know, but you get to eat some great food, see a lot of things, meet really nice people who, like, offer you their floor and, like, you know, stuff like that. And it's like, you know, it's just a different experience than spending day after day in Los Angeles, you know, which could be kind of taxing sometimes.
So. Yeah, that's hard enough. The amount of driving you have to do just to get from Hollywood to Santa Monica is probably worse than what it is to take it to get to Boise.
It's fun discovering new places to eat, you know. I love that.
It's the only reason Marge goes on tour.
That's why I got into music.
She's sick
the
of
food.
Us, but the roadside food.
I thought like you were going to say places to
the
visit.
The music and the playing's okay, but the food.
Meet interesting people and eat their food.
Yeah. What do you do? You haven't touched the donuts, John.
I will. John, I'm gonna. I'm waiting for them to go stale, so I can say, "Well, they're stale. I can't eat them." So this is all. This is what you guys do. You guys are professional musicians. You guys are a band. There's no other thing in your life that's keeping you from going full force with this, right? So no. this is the direction you
this
guys are taking it all.
We all live day to day. We all have given up a lot to do this. Everyone could be living more comfortably and doing stuff, but we do what we like, you know. And we're just happy, like, you know, if people like us, you know. We obviously know that not everyone's going to care for us and that, you know, some people will, and that's kind of why we play, so that people will be like, oh, you know, the Slow Signal Fade, I like them, you know, or it's like we said, that's why we play music. Not to sound indier than thou, but, I mean, that's who we are and what we do, so.
No, I mean, it's true. I think if everybody likes it, then clearly there's something tremendously flawed with it, you know, because... Because we're different, you know, everybody's different. What reaches one person isn't going to reach another person. If you're writing music just to reach everyone, then it's not really music. It's just...
It's a jingle.
Organized noise.
Yeah.
So let's play another song from the album then. Track 3 it is.
The electric version of...
Of the first song.
Of the first song.
We did acoustic.
Okay, it's called TBA. All right, you're listening to the Slow Signal Fade on Is Good on killradio.org.
1, 2, 3, 4. Raise the fist as it trembles. Celebrate today. Saving sides yet to see your own. Love
Upon further consideration, the Slow Signal Fade in the middle of that song decided to break up.
We're done.
This is horrible.
So, thanks for listening, I guess. Now, you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org, and my guest has been the Slow Signal Fade. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for having us.
Any last-minute announcements?
No, you can just check on our website for further information. We have a brand-new website that will be coming up soon. You can check our MySpace account.
TheSlowSignalFade.com or MySpace.com/TheSlowSignalFade.
Thanks, Marguerite.
30th at the Troubadour.
Yeah, we're playing the 30th at the Troubadour. It's an all-ages show. Everyone should come and check us out. It's going to be one of our last shows around before we go on tour. So come by and say hi.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming. Hopefully Chris won't find a way to kill you guys in between now and then. All right. We'll sign off with one last song by the Slow Signal Fade. It's called At Least We're...